How can you find, fund, and fix planet-sized problems? First, you need to be informed. And that starts here with the DOI Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in. Wednesday, 5/11/22, podcast number 40. Welcome into the most meaningful crypto conversation on the interwebs tonight. You've entered the DOI Podcast. We've got news. We have some community business to tend to. How about 800 million ETH into the exchanges? Wu-Tang Clan jumping into NFTs. Chimps making NFTs. Bored Ape Yacht Club says, hey, be cool, bro. That's our thing. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about it together. What's up, Corey? How are you doing this evening?
Hey, what about now?
Hey!
Can you hear me now?
Hey, welcome in, Corey.
Hey, I actually had to change devices and everything. Oh. So, yeah, I gotta love live broadcast. So, well, yeah, so first and foremost, Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, come on now. I was expecting that to happen sooner, especially with that DAO that was created in order to buy the Wu-Tang Clan CD or that album, the first one. I kind of figured that they'd be the first
You would have thought, you thought maybe they would have jumped onto the DAO and helped them out.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, super. Well, what I was going to say there, what I was saying is that, so as far as today goes, it's been an interesting day, I think, for all of us. Hopefully, watching the markets hasn't been what you've done all day.
Oh, yeah. Nope. I can't watch train wreck happen in front of me. I'll wait as it settles down, and then we'll make sense of it. Markets go up and down, and one of the first things, Corey, one of the first stories we have is just a small blurb from Vice.com, and you'll see it there at the top. And I thought that it was kind of a cool thing to start off with, because not all things are bad, right?
Oh, truly, not all things are bad at all. And I think to that point as well, we actually had a conversation to that exact likeness, well, just in our last podcast about how, you know, situations like this separates the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah.
Yeah, truly. And that's where we're at. And ultimately, I am the most excited to be working alongside of the people that are going to be here. I hope that there isn't going to be a crash. I assume that there probably will be, as there is. If you've been in doing this a long enough period of time, I'm less concerned about it because I've seen it a couple times now.
Right.
But that said, going through this, I'm very excited to be working alongside those who are still trying to do things 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now, whenever you can't just have Twitter bots pumping, saying to the moon over and over and over again, and people just buy it because.
Yeah, it definitely seems as there is a lot of attention being paid to scam coins and the like, right? They're not doing good at all. And, you know, there was going to have to be a reset, I think. It's just going to have to, because there was too much garbage going on in the market. And I think this is going to give everybody a chance to reflect on what we're doing, right? What does this crypto revolution have to store? What are the promises of it that aren't seen yet? And how do we fulfill those promises? And it's certainly not going to be through, you know, scam coins and pump and dump, rug pulls, these kind of things. It doesn't do any good for anybody.
Truly. Although in the podcast chat, Nerdy Nick puts in there, what's a crash? This is just a flash sale.
Yeah.
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 There might be, historically speaking, it's more likely that that's the case than the crash.
Yeah. Well, and to that point, I mean, there's been a lot of people looking at what's going on, feeling like some of the prices of these, the leading coins are out of reach. Well, you know, they're not so far out of reach now, are they? And as things settle down, there's money to be made on both sides of a slide. And as it's going back up, you can jump in. It might be the right time for you to jump in. You'll have to kind of assess that situation for yourself.
Yeah, truly. And I think that that's ultimately it. So if there ever was a time for those with the right risk tolerance to jump in and make money, it would be clearly now. So that said, I mean, you could have done that even just with BNB, you know, which obviously we watch a lot. It's went from 280, 290 something up to 320 something down to, I don't even know where it's at right now. stopped looking a couple hours ago. But the point being is you can get on all cycles of that bounce, because the more volatile it is, the more that you can get on the bounce. But once again, everybody thinks that they're the smart ones, that they're the ones who happen to buy before, you know, before it goes up and sell before it goes down. So just be aware that the best move, at least in my opinion, is to buy things with utility and hang out for a few years, because in the grand scheme of a life, what's another year or two or three or four or five? But what we can say in the grand scheme of 3, 4, 5 years, I mean, you could pretty much pick a crypto, pick BNB, for instance, and map that out for 5 years and see where it's gone and kind of ask yourself where it could go and so on and so forth. So
sure.
Hey, invest what you're willing to lose and hang on.
And I think that we should be aware that, you know, due to social media and just the human psyche, I think that we're all kind of trapped in like this 2-minute bubble, right? Where we are looking at things at such a small level because our attention span has not been trained to look at something for 5 years. But we're going to have to look at the bigger picture, right? And we can't be completely distraught about something that's happening today. When we look at the projection of cryptos over the next 5-10 years, there's still so much clear evidence that this is what is here to stay, that really this is just, like you're saying, a flash sale.
Yeah, I can't take credit for that one, though. That was all Nerdy Nick. Yeah. Give him props. Saw him in the podcast chat. So that said, what else we got besides that in the news? Because it looks like there's a lot of other good stuff.
Yeah, let's hit up the second. The second story here is the Grayscales. You know, they basically are saying that as long as Bitcoin doesn't fall below 3,562, that they're going to be stable with their collateral. And I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, that's a really low value of Bitcoin to fall to. And if it got down that low, then I will be owning a few Bitcoins, right?
Yes. Now, to that point, for those who maybe aren't as familiar with Grayscale, really what that comes down to is a tweet from Michael Saylor. Many of you might have heard of Michael Saylor at some point. If not, then now you are. You may have heard us mention his name a few times. He's a huge Bitcoin maximalist. He's very outspoken about it, and he has been hodling Bitcoin for quite some time. And to that point, he has done it through collateralizing the Bitcoin and getting loans. And because of that, you know, MicroStrategy, which is his firm, has a $205 million term loan, which needs to maintain $410 million as collateral. Mm-hmm. So in order to do so, as long as it is above $3,562, then they are going to be good to cover the collateralized loan.
And
now, that said, they say if it goes lower than that, then they'll still figure out what to do, which, quite frankly, given his background, I'm pretty sure the billionaire Michael Saylor will be able to figure out something.
Got enough other stuff to put up for collateral. But I thought that that was a really wise move on their point, right? That they didn't overstretch themselves. They left a lot of room in there if it would have to drop all the way down to 3,500 for it to affect them, considering that, you know, just months ago it was at almost 60,000 or just over 60,000. So that is a pretty prudent move on their part, I believe. You know, Vice has got several articles in here. The next one is the Vicecom. This is a bloodbath. The crypto crash is real. But when you read into the story just a little bit more, there's good news wrapped in it.
Yeah, it's truly in these moments that we need to start connecting and collaborating with the projects that are building things and continue on the path that we've been on, which is continuing to build, which I do think has been funny, by the way, because I don't know how many of you, having been in the space with our community or maybe some project of your own, has been seeing this recently, but you probably, if you're on Telegram or any of that kind of stuff, you've been getting all these messages and all these people trying to get you involved in all these bots or this, that, or the other pump and tump stuff, kind of this AMA and that AMA. I think that very quickly those communities are going to go by the wayside. And yeah, the only ones that are going to stick around are the really, really good ones. So I'm looking forward to not getting 40 to 50 messages a day from somebody trying to shill some kind of pump and dump mechanism And instead, whenever somebody's reaching out, it's because like they've dedicated their life to this and they probably have something really meaningful to say. Like, I'm more likely to answer my Telegram messages here in about 12 months if you have a crash.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. There are so many scams. It's pretty unreal when you get, in these Telegram, and if by chance you're listed as an admin or an owner, my gosh, it's just an inundation all day, every day, is the same kind of thing, trying to get you to get you involved with what they've got going on. And it's all so shady.
Well, and to that point as well, too, I would like to see what happens from a security standpoint on the phishing side of things. I wonder if that will increase, decrease, or stay neutral.
Hmm.
And for that matter, actually, I'm going to throw that up into a podcast chat. I'm going to throw a poll. So I'm going to say
it would almost have to increase, right? Would be my thought.
Yeah. So I'm going to go if crash. Biff, fish, fraud, and I'm going to give three options here. Up, down, and I'm going to say unaffected. And there we go. I'm curious to see what all of you think. See if this is going to separate out the scammers or if they're just going to double down. Or vice versa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if it's going to have no effect whatsoever.
They're going to have to change their methods. For sure, because what they're doing is obviously not working out very much. So, Corey, in the Vice news story that is up here, the Luna coin. Can you talk a little bit about this? Do you know much absolutely. About it?
Yeah, let me go ahead and pull this up. I know Shelly, you're on it. Yeah, let's see here, donors. Do. Luna.
Okay. And I know inside of here, one of the quotes that really I thought was interesting was a quote that says, basically quoted saying, crypto has died four times in the past. And he, what's dead may never die, right? Like that is something that's been said, oh, this is over. And then it comes back even stronger. And since the last time that it dropped to this time, there's some significant changes, right? You've got now at this point upwards of 90 governments getting involved in cryptos, in digital dollars of the central bank digital dollars, and also investing in cryptos in general, accepting them as payments. So there's a lot of different things going on that really say that this is not over, far from dead, and this is just a quick sell-off as the traditional markets are dropping, and I believe it'll make a big rebound.
I would think so too. And to that point, because ultimately, I think what you're asking about is with the Luna Guard Foundation, which backs the UST, which is the kind of their variation for how to create a stable coin, which is done with this sort of crypto asset backing, which is an interesting take. But with that creates the volatility of having to make sure that you balance out your assets in treasury and in reserves. And now it is to where the value of that has tanked. And in doing so, in order to kind of rebalance and restabilize, they're talking about potentially taking several billion dollars worth of Bitcoins in its reserves and ready to sell. Now that said, what that could do to your flooding billions of dollars worth of Bitcoins is that could cause market movement, and probably if you increase the sales side out towards the down. So to that point, what usually happens with these kinds of things is that there's the spiral down and then the spiral back up, because they're compounding. One builds upon the other, builds upon the other. And so to that point, something like that could absolutely have that opposite effect. But ultimately, anytime that you're having selling like that, you have to have a buyer on the opposite side. And so somebody else is making that recommitment to increase their position in Bitcoin every single time that Luna would decide to decrease it in order to stabilize something. So, and perhaps it'd be Michael Saylor. I can tell you this much. If Bitcoin does go down to $3,500 or $3,600 a Bitcoin, Michael Saylor is going to buy So many of them.
All of it.
He's going to become like the richest person in the history of humanity if it goes back up, because he's going to buy any and all of them. He's going to collateralize them, get loans out on them. And I would imagine that corporations as well, like Tesla and others that are going to accept crypto, would do the same. Like, this would be the perfect time for them to increase their balance sheets for crypto.
And I can't imagine that they don't.
I mean, clearly we know that El Salvador is buying the dip.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't other communities right now? Anybody that's been on the cusp and kind of feels like it's unobtainable, especially those second and third world countries who just, they only have enough to buy 50 Bitcoin. Well, maybe now they have enough to buy 250 Bitcoin by the time this all shakes out. And that actually means a lot to them 5 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And we, when you balance it out with what's being said in the background and what they're doing, it's clear to see that this is a dip, and I don't really see any way that it stays down for very long, because that affects everybody's balance sheets. And I just don't see them. I think there's too many big investors in already, which I weigh out as good, right? Like, when you've got these large investors involved in it, it is incentive to stabilize some of these things and to not make brash moves and to not make statements that are just inflammatory statements just to make them, right? Generally, you'll leave that to the politicians. But when you watch what heavy investors are doing, they're still shifting and moving that direction.
Truly. So we've got some pretty interesting news in here about the nonprofit Chimpanzee Sanctuary. Yes. Raising money. Expands donors with NFT sales. So for those who are kind of curious where that might be coming from, is during the whole Wall Street Bets thing with GameStop, there was a whole thing about saving the apes. And actually, I have to admit, I got in on that.
Did you try to save the apes?
Yeah. I bought some GameStop low and kind of, I got it to, by the time I got into it, it was triple, but not like 20-fold or whatever. But then, you know, I went ahead and I sponsored some apes.
All right.
So I couldn't help myself. It was a great thing to do. And now that said, I would say in my mind, I'm surprised that those two communities didn't connect faster. I mean, with Bored Ape Yacht Club and
You would have thought that the Bored Ape Yacht Club, they would have just picked their own sanctuary and then supported it, right? Instead of having literal chimpanzees making pictures for NFTs.
Yeah, you know, that said, the interesting thing is whenever it gets into supporting charitable causes, though, there's this kind of thing that happens, I've found, where there's a kind of disconnect where the excitement level from, like, the concept of a ape NFT to actually supporting an ape in real life, you tend to lose a certain amount of interest for whatever reason. Now, I feel like if you could actually crack that code, and this is a humanity long code where you can make those kinds of causes as exciting and interesting as something that's more desire or status based. Like, mm-hmm. if you could make supporting a chimpanzee as exciting as wearing a brand new pair of Air Jordans, I think all of a sudden you wouldn't have any issues with chimpanzees, that, you know, chimpanzee populations, or issues with supporting them or shelter, whatever cause that might be. But mm-hmm. there's still an issue there. There's still a disconnect.
And let's don't forget that chimpanzees aren't all cuddly. Like, they'll rip your face off.
Yeah, don't have them as a pet.
Yeah, they're great in a sanctuary and in the wild, but you probably shouldn't have one as a pet, because eventually they get mad at you and smack you around.
Yeah. So to that point, buy a chimpanzee NFT, but do not buy a chimpanzee pet.
Yeah. Nobody wants to get beat up by their pet monkey.
Yes. So if you've learned anything from this podcast, is don't get a chimpanzee. Yeah. And buy the dip, I guess.
Yeah. Buy the dip.
One is
it. So hitting up on the next one, Corey, 800 million worth of Ethereum flows into exchanges as selling pressure mounts. So I think this is... And, you know, it's hard to kind of understand sometimes why these sell-offs are happening, because you know the value of Ethereum, right? Like, Bitcoin, in my mind, although the world has accepted it, okay, it is still has speculation to it. But when you look at Ethereum and you look at the work that's put into it, It's a little bit different than Bitcoin in my mind, because there's this actual structure behind it, not just all speculative.
Well, so my hypothesis is this, and it comes down to education. My theory is that the people that are flooding into the market with their Ethereum are most likely those who least understand it.
Right.
And the solution to volatility is education. Because if you understand its use case, you understand what's built on top of it, you understand why it's meaningful, you understand the way that markets have gone in the past, then whenever something like this happens, you're less likely to get yourself into a position where you sell from fear. Now, that also could be on the opposite side, is that people are selling because they can't afford to lose it. I think that, once again, that's also an education piece, is people are getting into a position where they're buying things that they really can't afford to buy because they're afraid of missing out. And I understand why that is, but whenever they're getting into a situation where they have it, they've bet it all on black, and they realize that they could lose, even if it's lose 50%, they can't afford to lose 50% and still be able to get by. And if they start thinking about, because they don't understand how it could go to 20% of its value, they could lose 80%, and then they could multiply again by 30-fold. Even if that's the case, even if they understand that that's the case, they are still living paycheck to paycheck and can't ride it out for a year or two or three or four. So I think in that way, financial education along with crypto education is how we can stabilize these kinds of markets and keep people from getting into this position where they have to fear sell because they can't afford to lose it now. Right. Or they fear sell because they don't understand why it still has value in the future. Yeah. Does that make sense, Phil?
It does make complete sense. And you're not going to find very many communities that approach it this way. But, you know, we have to be vigilant in our own lives, right? We should not be investing, and we should not be playing with stuff that we can't. And that leads to these kind of decisions for folks, right? Where they bought in maybe, and they're selling out even at a loss because they're afraid of losing all of it, like you're saying, because they can't. So just be aware and don't put in more than you should, right? Like you should know, you can know your personal limit and what is reasonable for you to put in. But don't be irresponsible with it, for sure.
Yeah, I think like all things, it's sometimes the thing that is clearly the best thing to do is often the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing to do would be to, like, you've kind of got two extremes. One is that you go really, really hard and you FOMO. You go on Wall Street bets, and people are just, how can they bet everything and either have a Lambo next week or live in a cardboard box? And there's millions of people taking that approach. And I understand why, but at the same time, it's very easy to kind of see the two extremes, right? The one extreme, which is just bet it all on black because you could win 50 times and you can get yourself in a different life position. And worst case scenario, you live with your parents if you still have parents. On the opposite side is, oh, it's all scary. I'm super skeptical. None of it's real. None of it's going to happen. And then so you don't do anything.
Right.
Whenever the correct path, like all things, is to continue to do something, but to diversify in such a way that you minimize your likelihood of complete destruction, or even for that matter, minimize your likelihood of loss, but you maximize your potential for increase. And that's not the easiest thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to say, hey, you should have a diversified portfolio of actual stocks and commodities along with actual crypto, different types and different sectors. And that's the way to make sure that you can ride this out and never have to worry about going to zero, but also still have the chance to 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 50, 20 times your money over a long enough period. It's diversification. And I think that that's a difficult conversation to have, but the one that we have to keep having.
Yeah. Diversification, and also the idea of looking at a market long term, right? And not getting caught up in the ups and downs of a daily, weekly, and monthly market. Because if you are in the stock market, you have to look at it over the long haul, or it would drive you crazy, right? You're watching it go up and down and fluctuating every day, just like the crypto market. That would drive me nuts. So, you know, doing research on what you should be investing in and then buying and holding it, in my estimation, is a better strategy.
Yeah, for sure. And just because you're investing what you can afford to lose, which, by the way, thank you for throwing that in there, Sherlock Shelley, trade what you can afford to lose in the podcast chat. Just because you're investing what you can afford to lose or purchasing crypto with what you can afford to lose doesn't mean you should do it as if you're expecting to lose it, meaning you should
right.
still treat that money as if it has value, because it does. So even still, take the time to be educated, to be informed, which is what this all comes back to.
Yeah, and that cuts out some of the potential for loss, right? Once you get educated and you're putting your, you know, this, okay, I don't look at the crypto market any different than the regular stock market, in the sense that you should be investing in things that you understand, right? So in the stock market, if you're investing in things that you can understand the value. You can understand that when it comes down, why will it go back up? Because it has this value to it. It has this utility. And I think that the crypto market is a lot the same way. And something that you can never understand is a 10,000% APR. You can't understand that. You can't understand that meme coin, because it doesn't make sense. So there's no way to understand it. So we just have to stay away from these kind of things. And then where other people are experiencing volatility, we won't experience the same volatility by staying away from those volatile kind of coins and stocks.
But what if it's real, Phil? What if that 300,000% APR is real and then I miss out?
It is. It really is for the guy that's sending that link out. Okay. It is for him.
For them it is, isn't it?
That's right.
It is real.
That's right.
This is their ticket to the Lambo.
Yeah. They put $1,000 in. They only need 3,000 of you to put $1,000 in, and then they've done exactly what they've promised. They've made themselves rich.
Yeah. And they got the 300,000% APR. They just didn't specify it was only for the first one member.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And we see it. It is amazing to me. But you guys, we have to be aware that there's human characteristics to us, right? And the fear of missing out on something mixed with greed is dangerous. It's just dangerous. And everything that we do, it's dangerous. So just be aware of it. And don't let yourself get into a position of being afraid of something. If you're afraid, you shouldn't be involved one way or the other. And definitely we can check our own greed and see why we're doing this. What is our motive for doing this? And that will also help protect us.
Speaking of, on the opposite side of things, something that is pretty awesome. So Method Man and Capadonna releasing exclusive music NFTs. So they're actually going to make their own music NFTs on Milo Studio. That's pretty cool.
So
we're now moving over towards, of course, we've been seeing this more and more. But every single time there's another project like this, I just get more excited, because we're starting to see actual art. And not that a Bored Ape isn't art, of course, but we're starting to see like more comprehensive works of art.
Yeah.
Getting music, and eventually you'll get video and books and things like that, that art pieces that are, or maybe even just more comprehensive bits of art. More like Beeple style things, like things that people are investing much more time into, that will have staying power and value, that you might be able to look back and go, okay, hey, maybe that Wu-Tang Clan album or that Method Man album that came out was actually a really, really classic hit, and being one of the original 10,000 NFT owners gave them some type of property rights to get residual value,
right,
and enjoy it throughout the process as well.
Yeah. Music is definitely different than, in my mind, this is different than the Bored Ape Yacht Club, because that is an NFT that you can just look at. And I don't know how many times you pull out your phone to look at a picture in the middle of the day. Well, my gosh, my wife looks at pictures all the time. Maybe she's onto something. But, music is something that we all enjoy over and over and over and over. So I just think there's a different inherent value in it. I think it's also pretty exciting.
Yeah, and whenever you think about what's really exciting here, because here's another one of those ideas, kind of throw them out as we go. You can clip it out, I guess, later. But in the future, you think about, okay, what do you do with music NFTs, right? So the first thing you think of is, okay, well, MetaMask already has integrations for standard artwork NFTs and utility NFTs that allow you to get access to certain websites. Why couldn't they start putting in music? And you go, well, that's a little bit different of a interface. And then you start going, okay, well, who has an interface for that? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, who would have a really great interface for that is if you were Consensus, you know, the people who own MetaMask, why not instead get engaged into Spotify or something of that like, where you kind of build your own thing and you allow the ability to listen to NFTs. So you allow the ability to listen to other people's NFT music, and then they get a percentage of the royalties because it's set up like a DAO. And vice versa, you can also purchase either like short-term or long-term rights to these things. You're a creator, you can put it on there and you can monetize it as well too. There's a project that kind of has a little bit of this called Stage that I've been following for a while. But nonetheless, the concept is a little bit of those items. The concept is how cool will it be whenever you have a wallet of music that you own and albums that you own, and attached to each one of those bits of music is not just the music itself, but all kinds of other cool property rights and exclusive access to, you know, opportunities and experiences that you wouldn't have if you're just listening to it on Spotify. Connected with the ability, if you turn that into a DAO, how meaningful it'd be to work on it as a community and determine what those rules should be, how creators should be supported and engaged and involved. You know, that would be really cool. That'd be really cool.
That would be. And it's kind of where it's going, right? I mean, and this is like the ultimate dream for artists, to get the middleman out of the way, create what they want to send out, and then be able to sell it to their audience.
Only truly so.
The exchanges will be the new middleman, right? Instead of their agent.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if a DAO was the middleman?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the middlemen and women were all of us.
Yep. Well, if anybody takes that and runs with us, just give us a little percentage and we'll be cool with you. So last thing in the news here, Corey, Australia to list 2 Bitcoin ETFs and 1 Ethereum ETF on Thursday. And to me, why is this big news? Because we're in the middle of a slide, right? And it's going down. And the fact that they're bringing this in only lends more legitimacy to the fact that it will bounce back. When you start seeing this kind of movement and this kind of interaction with governments, it's not going anywhere.
Truly. And it's not going anywhere. They're too far invested into it. And
that's right.
If anything, it's a mechanism for governments to get into it at much lower prices and to keep it on their balance sheets. And we went on that whole hypothetical scenario, just the other podcast, for whatever it's worth. But this would be a really good move if you were.
Yeah.
If you were on the other side, if you were on the more institutional or government side of things and you wanted to get a certain balance sheet and you needed to move the markets a bit, you could move the markets enough with, it would cost a lot less money to move the markets by shuffling in $500 million here and $500 million there, or $2 billion here and $2 billion there.
Yep.
Then the loss of the outcome is being able to scoop it all up on the bottom and making 20, 30, 40 fold returns.
Yeah.
Food for thought.
Yeah. Agreed. And when you have control of the markets, you have to, you have to question a little bit about why now, right? Like what's going on that causes it to happen right now? And there certainly is a lot of incentive to bring Bitcoin down to a low price to enter. So, so many questions is right.
Now, that said, perhaps speaking of so many questions, the next question that we should probably bring up in here is maybe as a community, we talk about some of the different changes that we've been making to boarding the mission, vision, and purpose of the DOI Foundation during these times, and how we might adapt that into our social media platforms, including Discord. You feel like that's a good thing to talk about?
I do. I think so that... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things that we've been talking about in the background here is that we've clearly moved our community over into a glue-type role to help bring in the most talented people, projects, initiatives to make sure that we can be in a place where we can help support crypto projects that are going to be meaningful to the people. And now is as important as ever is doing that. And that's changed what the Discord is for. There's really not any mooning going on in here, though we're not spending any time now, as we shouldn't be, talking about, you know, win Lambo. We never did, but we're definitely not going to now. And so it's kind of changed how we interact and use the Discord over the last month or so. And because of that, we are really thinking that perhaps we, you know, and here's a couple ideas, and we're going to throw it at the community and ask. Should we take the Discord, pare down the channels to where there's really only the one chat channel, and then we start spending time interacting with people who come in on the welcome screen as a community, say hi, figure out what they're coming in for, and really let them know that the interactions happen around the podcast. Now, if we get pushback on that and that we should be kind of keeping more channels open, and or that we should be spending more time kind of just trying to keep engagement going nonstop, even whenever we're not doing podcasts, I'd like to hear it. But ultimately, I think we're at this point here where perhaps we just let everybody know that's whenever they're coming in. This right here is what they're coming in for, these long-form discussions. Now, that said, looking for feedback. So the poll is going to be, should we pare down the Discord? So Discord.
Get the pruner out.
Pruned.
Bring the chainsaw. Chop it down.
Well, see where you stand.
Yeah, my take on it would be a lot of these channels don't get any use. It clutters it up, and it kind of distorts the vision. And if we want to focus in, then maybe we should just get rid of some of the other stuff.
So I've given a little bit of a pause here. So while people fill out the polls, I don't want to sway too much, but ultimately, I guess, to just communicate my opinion, I feel like it's easy for someone who isn't in during the podcast to think that it's supposed to be a nonstop conversation. And then if they think it's supposed to be a nonstop conversation, they come in and go like, why dead chat? Go, mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be a live chat.
Right.
We have long form discussions about meaningful things as a community. We're continuing to build things. We talk through them in live time, 3 times a week. And that kind of changes a perspective, whereas if there's a limited amount of channels, they have to come across that understanding quickly. But that said, you know, perhaps, you know, one could argue opposite, playing, you know, the alternative perspective, is one could say that Discord is supposed to be that instead we should figure out how to give nonstop engagement and entertainment style server.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I agree with everything you just said. Chop it up. That's what I heard.
Chop it up.
That's what I heard. Chop it up.
Chop it up. Now, so that said, another thing is too, depending on how far we want to go with this, is we had a bunch of people whenever we first reached out, you know, started that, of course, they got all excited because moon. You know, okay, that's great. You know, yes. All the mechanisms are built in this to make sure that this could be as valuable as anything, in our opinions, that's ever been created. But, you know, where it goes, when it goes, how, and so on and so forth. It's definitely not going to be a conversation about mooning or win Lambo or that kind of stuff. Not that we don't appreciate the excitement. But because we weren't re-engaging the conversations in that way, from the beginning, there was a bunch of people that came in that just haven't really been spending time in here. And so if we prune all the people that haven't spent time in here in the last 7 days, out of our 7,100 members, that's 3,800 of them. So the other portion of them, so 3,300 have been in the last 7 days.
So, okay.
Should we prune that or should we just kind of leave it be for now? Maybe send out a mass message that says, hey, we're about to cut everybody who hasn't been in for the last week. By the way, if you haven't seen, you should be coming in for the podcast, or do we just go ahead and prune it?
So I actually would lean the other way. I would lean towards not pruning the numbers at all. Because at certain times we're pretty light on the at everyone messages, right? Where we send them out so that everybody gets it. And you know, it does give us the ability to reach out to them when it's time to reach out for something. So I don't really know if I see a huge value in cutting them out.
Looks like we're getting pretty unanimous. I haven't even had a chance to throw in the poll here yet, but it seems like so far everybody's kind of say let the numbers remain.
Yeah, I kind of think so too. I mean, ultimately they did make a choice to come in and join the server, and they're not a problem for them being here and sitting idle. So I think that there's strength in numbers, and if we ever need to call on everybody to help with something, then we have a larger audience to call out to.
True. True. Now, what I do think is it's interesting, because I'm looking in the podcast chat, is Aridow puts in the lurk. What I think is really interesting is, with, to me, the 3,800 didn't quite surprise me. What surprised me was the 3,300 people in the last 7 days who were just lurking. Yeah. I'm like, hey, you know, you guys can say something, right? It's okay. Like, so there's 3,300 people just in the background, just lurking. And we know that those are people, by and large, not bots, because we scrubbed this Discord for bots pretty hard and heavy and actually investigated a number of times to determine whether or not they were bots. And we always came up with the fact that they're real people. So we have, so Carlbot, BMO, Maki, and Dino all scrubbing for bots. So that said, it's not to say that there aren't some bots in there, but I think by and large, those 7,100 people are actually people. So I guess to your point, Bill, and I guess the rest of the community here, I guess we can, because we haven't really gone ham with the at everyone. Maybe we should start kind of doing that a few times and just kind of on meaningful messages and see
who stays on
or who decides to take the notifications off and leave.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's good enough. And, like I say, that I don't really see the value in cutting them out, and I don't see the harm in them staying. So I say stay.
Okay.
3,800 more friends.
3,800 more friends.
Yeah.
apparently we got some sleeper cells in there, according to the podcast chat. Yeah, that's got to bring them in.
Don't say that. I have to cut that out now. Great.
Yeah, that does make it seem very conspiratorial, doesn't it? It wasn't the way that I think anybody intended it.
But Homeland Security is going to be going through our Discord.
Like that was the trigger word. That was the trigger word. All of a sudden, the NSA is in here. Oh, I said the word.
Well, they're not going to know what moves to make if they don't listen to us and take our suggestions.
Okay, now you're just doubling down. Yeah. Now you're just doubling down.
Well, they should come in and get some, you know, there's wisdom of a crowd, right? And we have a crowd. And if they have a question and they want to bring it and they want to get a good answer, then bring it in here and we'll throw a poll up and we'll get you a clear answer. General invitation.
Yeah, yeah. And they would ask us, they would go ahead and fill out the poll for us. We go, should Phil disappear unexpectedly or... will he eat something and get food poisoning conspicuously?
Better not put it on.
I don't like this poll.
Better not taint any Tostino's pizzas.
my goodness.
Leave my pizzas alone.
So on from the NSA and mysteriously disappearing, one of the other things they're thinking about the Discord that could be powerful as well, too, is as we are... and have been clarifying our vision and next steps. We understand that in the past, we were trying to figure out what Discord is or isn't with the collabs. And we found that collabs, as it was previously defined, aren't valuable at all for us or for the community. There's no value in just some NFT project coming in and being like, you know, whitelist for this, that, or the other. But there's extreme power in where we have been going and with meaningful partners, you know, like MyDAO and DAO Planet and so on and so forth, like the meaningful places that are making a difference in the space and partnering with them and others like them. So if perhaps we change the collab section to a partner section, and what we do is we communicate who we're looking for and how we seek to support one another. So change the collab section, clear it out, change it from collabs to partnerships or partners. So that way it doesn't even, like if somebody's coming onto our Discord for the first time, they don't try to put us in a box for what that collabs is supposed to be and say, oh, well, it's not this or it's supposed to be like that. And instead, whenever they click on it, they see, okay, here's what we're doing. Here's how we're doing it. Here's who we're looking to do this with. If you're these people, reach out and let's have a discussion. So as a community, what's your feedback on that? Do we feel like we should try to take the more traditional collabs route? Should we double down on that?
I don't think so. I like the first idea of having a partnership room, right? Or a channel where other projects that want to come in and team up, they can come in and drop their stuff in there. I think it maybe is a little bit more finite message, right? Other than just collabs, because you're right, it is misunderstood, like Shelley just pointed out, and just a lot of stuff goes in there that we don't really need.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and throw a poll, although I think I already know the answer. So I'm going to say the message is collabs change. And then we're going to just change this to yes, no, send it down. And so if so, then that will roll right into the conversation as a community here, because there's been a lot of things that we've been working on in the background, but just to reinforce how you might be able to support, to be engaged, to be involved, and what that would look like specifically. So as we're pausing for a second to let people fill out that poll, looks like so far we're getting a pretty resounding one direction on this, but I just give it a chance to clear out.
That would be a great band name.
What's the band name?
One Direction.
Oh, I wonder. I mean, such a clever band name. I wonder why no one's ever used it before.
Right. Hakeem, you didn't miss anything, but everybody in here, today is Hakeem's birthday. I think
happy birthday, Hakeem.
I think he's either 62 or 63. I'm not sure.
92, 97. 97 today. Wow, Hakeem.
There it is.
And no idea.
Yep. So
look, a day over 14.
You guys, one of the things we've been working in the background, and we have assembled a team amongst us to help do some sales, is the Dow Planet NYC event that's coming up in June 24th and 25th. And if you know anybody, if any of you want to be involved, if we haven't reached out to you already and you say, hey, I know some people, I want to get involved in trying to push that message out, then hit us up, and we've got a spot for you to jump in on that also. We've got some organization, and we can give you an actual path to go on, right? Like a task, more task-oriented. Like, here's a list, and you try to contact these people. And we've already got some stuff set up so that you can know kind of a little bit of a sales pitch, so to speak, where you can give them the information they need. So we would invite you to come in if you feel like that's something that you would like to be involved in.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, Phil, because at the end of the day, we really could use as much support as possible, because our goal is as best that we can. By the time that Dow Planet NYC comes about, that we have, as a community, firmly cemented ourselves in the middle of all the meaningful Dow supporters, meaning organizations and communities that support DAOs, the DAO players, organizations and initiatives that are making plays in the space, and DAO investors. So to that point, that's going to require some effort, and we have quite a team. And by the way, Shelley has been leading that team by and large, so a lot of props to him on that and helping to assemble it and lead it as well. We're working at it as a collaborative effort, but got to give a lot of props to Shelley.
That much props right there. Good job,
that much
Shelley.
Props.
Good job.
Yeah. So to that point, though, it's a pretty big undertaking for us to seek to try to be in the middle, to where there is full awareness of who we are, what we stand for, and how we're going to make that impact, and to be firmly cemented in supporting thousands of people. Because if you really break that into buckets, there's a lot of people. There's probably a couple thousand people that are investing, a couple thousand yeah. people that are supporting, and probably a couple thousand people that are building inside of the Web3 and DAO space. And for us to make sure that we've made an exposure to all of them, that's going to require some effort. So if you're listening to this and you want to be a part of that effort, or if you know someone you feel like could be or should be a part of that effort, or you just know somebody that you think is making waves in the space and you want to make sure that they get onto the podcast and they're talking about what they're doing, or if they're investing, they're talking about what they're trying to invest into. So that way we can make sure that those of us who are trying to make something happen have everything they need to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a community, this is a great opportunity for us to get involved with another DAO community. You know, I don't know, some of you I know have followed us over and joined over at DAO Planet. Some of you haven't. But from experience, you know, this is a group of really well-educated and great-intentioned folks. They're very focused on what they're doing, and they're good at what they do. And they are deserving of support, and they are supporting the DAO community at large. So if we look at an organization like DAO Planet, you know, for DAOs to be successful, we need to depend and lean on each other, right? This is something that is kind of new, but there is so much hope to be found inside of DAOs. It really brings back power to the people. And they're just a really good organization. They're good guys and gals, and they're going to go far, and we definitely want to be involved. So if you would like to be involved, you for sure can sign up and come up to the DAO Planet NYC event. That's going to be June 24th and 25th, and me and Corey will both be up there. And we would love to see you guys up there. We'll be doing a live podcast on Friday from up there, and we would love to see everybody from the community come up if you can.
Brilliant. And so a couple different things, because we're about to round out this podcast for updates. One is that before you leave here, make sure that you click to join the event for Friday. So it's going to be Friday at 8 p.m. Central. We are actually going to be talking through with, well, an influencer partnership. So there is a group called the Omega Group, which is opened up the conversation, well, by way of introduction through Manifest. Thank you for the introduction.
Yeah, I'm glad we're going to talk about this for a minute.
Yeah, and so we are going to be taking the time to talk through as a community, as a DAO, because we take the time to vote on these things. Should we become part of their community, they become part of ours, and that we support through a group of influencers, through those who have a voice and have communities, should we partner up to help spread the mission, vision, spread awareness, to spread the word and support one another's communities. And I would say, I mean, on the surface, it sounds like, but at the same time, you know, it's easy to say something on the surface, but it really requires us to get into the nuance of whether or not a partnership relationship like that would make sense. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. So as a DAO, as a community here, as we take the time to go through things and vote, Friday, we thought it'd be a good idea to bring them in and talk through the details, and we can have live conversations, go in the podcast chat, see what that would look like, and determine whether or not this is something we should do or not.
Yeah, I know off of our preliminary call and the discussion that we had, it certainly seems like the right time to do what they're doing. And I think that it would be beneficial to partner up with them in some sense. They're a pretty sharp group of guys, and the vision that they have is also a really good idea. And it kind of, it really fits nicely with what we've got going on in our vision. So like Corey said, we'll bring them in Friday. We'll have an open kind of conversation with them. And maybe we don't vote Friday. Maybe we do. Maybe we come back and vote on it Monday as a group, and have some time to think about their group and think about what they have to propose. And then we decide if we want to jump in with them.
Yep, truly. So to that point, another bit of updates as well, too. I think, by the way, seeing that my computer's lagging on me, which was the reason why I had to go to my phone, there should be a question mark after partnership with Omega. But nonetheless, I created the event. The computer froze up, and there we go. That's the event. So Friday at 8 p.m., join to see whether or not there's a partnership with Omega. Another bit of interesting news for those who have been keeping tabs in the background, we're still working to build out the direct buy mechanism on the website. We had actually already built it out, and it worked really well, super cool. But two things changed that we wanted to add. One is that we're now, because of the volatility in the market, moving over to direct buy DOIC with BUSD, which is just US dollar pegged on the Binance Smart Chain. And actually, it's really cool because it's actually pegged dollar for dollar. So that way, it's not going to bounce up and down in value. So that will be built onto the website here before too long. And also, two, this is pretty cool. It's actually really cool. We think that we're going to be able to successfully implement to where on the website, whenever you buy DOIC, that through the GRAM program that we've talked about in the past, for those who are affiliates, you'll be able to put in your code. Like someone will be able to put in your code. Like, for instance, just picking an example, one could put in B. So let's say B-Man J was part of the GRAM program and he wanted to bring people in. You could type in the code B and it would automatically give B-Man J his affiliate reward percentage for bringing in those people to direct buy the DoiCoin. Automatically, just by that person putting it in there on the blockchain, all tracked without having to manually do any of that. And also to give the direct buy bonus for using the affiliate program of 10,000 DOIC for this stage. And then, of course, as it gets to further stages of direct sales, the percentages and the bonuses will change. But nonetheless, hopefully here, and this will be really exciting if this is, you know, successfully implemented here in the next week and a half, we can have that kind of mechanism, and that'll really help us with the GRAM program.
Agreed. That is going to be very streamlined and very cool.
Yep. B, sweet as honey.
Yeah.
That's what B-Man says.
So Galactic Breeze asks, is there a link for the Omega group that we can, so everybody in here can check them out? They do have a Discord that is fairly new, if I'm not mistaken. Corey, maybe we can reach out and try to get a link to their Discord so everybody can go in and check it out. And we also can bring some of that information in here Friday during the call if we'd like to.
Yeah, I think that sounds good as well too. And for that matter, I don't know if kind of given the short period of time, I didn't know if you happen to have that on deck manifest just from your connection with them since you brought them in.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that thought. Right, that's exactly why we wanted to bring this conversation in here, because we want the whole group to do an assessment with us, right, and see if this is something that we want to be involved in, because we don't want to get involved in stuff half-heartedly, right. So as a community, there will come a time when we just say, well, we have too much going on right now. We can't go down that path with you, but we may be able to support people in another way. But we don't want to jump in half-heartedly into it, right? So if we're going to get into it, we want to be solid as a group, that's what we want to do.
Truly. Because something like this can be a brilliant idea and allow us to exponentially increase awareness and impact of the DOI Foundation. Or if done incorrectly, it can cause us to be distracted from the things that will move forward.
Yeah, that's right.
Vision, mission, and purpose of the DOI Foundation.
That's right. And as you know, as we mature as a group, and as we start to mature in our talents and understand where our talents lie individually, there will be times where we may have several things going on, several initiatives, but we may only have two or three of us heading up an initiative or working inside of that initiative, and just kind of reporting back to the community what we're doing. And you know, maybe if at that point we would have a leader of the team, they can come back in and communicate with the community at large what they're doing inside of their group, so that we're not all distracted. We can't all go 100 different ways. And there is this old saying that I was taught years ago, that if you want to kill a man's vision, give him two.
Yeah.
So
that's beautiful. That's brilliant. Hey, I want to throw something crazy out in here before we close out this podcast. I saw a note in there, B-Man J, talking about wanting to come to the Dow Planet NYC. Hey, I got your ticket. So if you can get there, I got your ticket covered.
Come on up. Yeah. We would love to have all of you come up if you're able to. And if you know anybody in New York and you're not able to attend yourselves, but and you know people up there and you would like to invite them, then definitely invite them. We will show them some hospitality and we will bring them right in and make them feel comfortable.
Truly. And I think to that point as well. Yep.
See, we're gonna work B-Man right into a corner. So, B-Man, I'm gonna be driving through. Maybe I'll just swing through, pick you up. Corey's got your ticket.
You're coming.
We'll just keep working them.
it's going from some kind of polite invite to some kind of like forceful kidnapping by the time we're done with this.
Yeah. Hey, Steve says, let's get the DOI discount code out. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Let's do it. Now, is that what just, hey, Steve, is that just DOI? DOI? And is that live?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Malcolm lives nearby too. Ho-ho.
All right.
Oh man.
May arrange to get the RV on the road. We just have an all out road trip.
So it's going to be like that movie RV, except for not with a family, but kind of like a de facto DOI family. Hopefully, just as interesting, not as much driving off the side of a mountain.
No driving off the side of a mountain for sure. Okay, good. DOI 20.
Yep. So for all of you who aren't looking in the podcast chat, DOI 20 is the discount code. So if you put in DOI 20, you get 20% off of your tickets. So check that out, Eventbrite. Hey, Steve, you want to go ahead and drop the link? Oh, not yet. So it's coming soon. Will be. All right. So don't buy the tickets. Don't even think about it. Forget we said anything. Until you see a link in there.
Don't hold it.
Then you can buy tickets.
Don't forget about it. Just hold it for a second. It's almost there.
But I forget about everything I don't do immediately.
Welcome to being American. Too many things going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have something else to propose that we might start implementing here. So we release these podcasts on all different kinds of platforms, right? Spotify, Google, Podbeam, Apple. We put them up on YouTube. I'm going to suggest that as we maybe start bringing in some people and we start talking about potential moves that we as a community might make in the market, or that as individuals we might make as we're looking at the market and it's down and as it starts coming back up, I propose maybe that we end our podcast on an hour and then we hang out, we'll wrap it up, wrap the recording up, and then hang out as another 15 minutes as a community and talk about some of these potential things. I don't know that we want to broadcast that to and record it and throw it out. And it might just be something that we should have as kind of an insider's track. And that if you're here, you're here. If you're not, you're not. What do you think about that?
I personally think that that's a good idea because, for instance, like one of the things we didn't talk about tonight, but there's one more we had on the checklist was the advisory board. Because mm-hmm. we'd have a chance to talk through those kinds of things, maybe vote on those kinds of details. But we can actually package up the podcast, even if we do it for 45 minutes and then we just do like internal community talk.
Yeah.
I think that that would be a good idea to separate out the two blocks.
Yeah. You know, there's some things that we may want to talk about as a community. We may see something on the horizon that is something that would be a good investment for us individually. And maybe we don't want to throw that out into the universe. Maybe we'll keep that right here inside of the group. So something to think about.
Yep. Case. For all those who are interested, I threw in a poll. You can throw your, well, looks like Dinah was thinking. But so community talk on the podcast, ? We're getting resounding conversation that the community should be on the podcast. Hey, well, there we go, Phil. I was actually going to say the counter argument is that perhaps we do keep that on the podcast just that way we can have this recording of our journey. As how, like, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about how cool it would be to have like the entire journey on social media that, you know, was taken by, you know, Apple or, you know, whatever it might be, and kind of like being able to take it from here to there, and we are recording it. So I think it would be cool to kind of like talk about the discussions we had, the things that we worked through, and we are transparent and inclusive. So
Yeah,
it looks like there's a resounding 13-0 vote on that, Phil. Just keep it on there. People can listen to it 4 years later and steal our NFT Spotify ideas or whatever they want. But yeah, there it is.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that is awesome. We'll do it then. That's how we'll do it. So Friday, we are going to also bring in to you guys and have a discussion about having an advisory board amongst you with some folks amongst you to do an advisory, like a promotion advertisement advisory board. We will talk about that Friday for a few minutes, and then we're going to ask for an up or down vote on that. So I think that will be a really interesting conversation, and we will bring that, like I said, we'll bring that in Friday.
Bringing in Friday. I'm really excited about the advisory board, and I think everyone else will be too, but at the same time, as a community, we're going to have to vote through and make sure that we feel comfortable that that's the right move to make and that everyone else is of the same opinion of the board.
Yeah. Yep. No, and I agree. Hey, awesome, Arda. I appreciate that. He answered that quick. One ticket covers both days.
Truly.
That's good to know.
Well, that is good to know. Well, we are severely over time.
We are.
Not that I don't love all of you and can clearly do this all night, but at some point in time, we have to end this thing, don't we?
Yep. So for all of you listening on Clapper or Facebook, you missed out because you didn't come into the podcast chat. A lot of stuff happening in here. So we invite you to come in on Friday's show. That's going to be at 8 Central. So let's get out of here, Corey. What do you say?
Well, B-Man's telling us that we can't leave.
Yeah, okay. Well,
he says we have to keep going.
Listen, I have the ability to talk, and I know Corey, this is going to be a shocker. Corey also has the ability to talk in here for hours with me. And but our wives will be disappointed if we don't come home on time. So we're going to have to get out of here. So for myself, Phil Ward, and for Corey Fico, we invite you to be kind to somebody. You never know when it's going to change their life, their day, their world, and it certainly is going to change yours. So until next time, and that's Friday at 8 Central, we will see you then. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the DOI podcast. If you've enjoyed our time together, please rate and review the podcast. Together, we can achieve a brighter future. Help us bring this information to the world by sharing it with friends and family. The DOI coin, the crypto coin for the people, by the people.